sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Callis, presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. TK, thanks for taking a few minutes to hang out with us on this Friday afternoon. Seven games into the season for the Astros. Have they changed your mind on anything? Do you think any differently about this team seven games in than you did before the start of the year?
Not really. They're disappointed. Obviously, they haven't won more games than 2-5, but the offense has been pretty solid. I think the starting pitching has been outstanding. The bullpen's the reason why they are 2-5, unfortunately, and that was at least 7th, 8th, and 9th inning supposed to be their strength. So it hasn't played out great so far in terms of getting a lead or being close in late games, but that we're in a small sample size. We're less than 5% into the season, so that'll get turned around.
TK, so far when we look at it, and obviously everybody kind of hits the panic button in different ways when you see them get off to a little bit of a slow start. But as you mentioned, they were in every game, and we've talked about it over and over again. You look at a guy like Bregman, it's just you see him as a guy that you've seen over the years be able to turn it on, pick it up. Sometimes he's a slow starter. Is there any reason to be any kind of concerned for Alex Bregman at this point in the season?
No, I thought this might be the year where he finally got off to a good start. So he was probably as hot as anybody the last week or two of spring training. He was hitting every ball in the nose. He was looking like he was going to jump start finally to a good April or March in this case, where you start 4 days into March. It's basically become his MO if he never gets off to very good starts. I think he's had one, maybe one and a half good starts to his career of the time he's been an Astro. So, he's always tinkering, I'm sure. On the off day, he was grinding, trying to figure out what he could do better. It always seems to be Alex and March, April do not really blend well for whatever reason.
I have a theory, TK, that we sensationalize the batting order. At the end of the day, I don't think it matters nearly as much as we think it matters. But at the same time, I'll certainly engage in the conversation because it makes for good banter. It makes for good dialogue. Yordan Alvarez in the two spot. It's been hit or miss from Astro fans on whether or not they like Yordan in the two spot. He gets more at-bats batting second, maybe less RBI opportunities batting second. Where do you stand on that?
I initially really liked it, and I still do. I don't mind, Yordan Tucker or Tucker Yordan. I think you want to get your best hitters the most at bat. And the notes we've seen or the stats we've seen, basically every spot in the lineup ahead gets 14 more plate appearances than the spot below. So the leadoff hitter over the course of the year ends up with 14 more plate appearances, 28 more than the number three guy, all the way down. So it goes basically 14 per spot on average. So you want to get Tucker and Alvarez the most plate appearances. If Tucker batted ahead of Alvarez, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I do like having the two lefties back-to-back behind Jose Altuve. And it's hard to complain with what Yordan did on Wednesday.
No doubt about that. TK, when you look at, and obviously we've talked about it, and we talked to you last week about it, but just kind of the struggles of the middle of the bullpen. But now you're getting Verlander going out to make a start in Sugar Land. They expect him to make another, if that goes well, at least one more minor league start. But he's getting closer to return. You saw Blanco continue on after the hot spring. Do you feel like this team is fine because not only are you getting starting pitching back, but it's a surplus enough that you can move a guy or two to the bullpen to kind of cover up for some of the deficiencies, if you will, in the middle of the bullpen that we've seen early on?
Yeah, it'll add one guy to the bullpen for sure, you would think, when JV gets back. And they may even think about going to a six-man rotation, but I think they're going to go to six-man rotations at times in the schedule where they don't have a lot of off days. And if you do the math, if JV does make two rehab starts when he comes back, they're going to have three off days on that next road trip after this one. So I don't think they're going to have a six-man rotation then, which means somebody who's currently in the rotation would have to move and likely go to the bullpen. So, yeah, you add one reliever to that pen. But, yeah, that was the big question coming out of spring training was you knew who you had for your four guys at the back end. Rafael Montero was going to be on the team. and then you had Abreu, Presley, Hader. It was going to be how those other four guys did. And as long as, you know, the Astros are going to keep tinkering with that. We already saw the move today. Miguel Diaz, who was just picked up on waivers, is now on the active roster. And Parker Meschinski, who was one of the lefties out of the bullpen, is now back at AAA. So they're going to continue to look to see if they can maneuver some things and make the best possible bullpen. But I would think you're going to see J.P. France or Ronel Blanco, and it's hard to imagine Blanco coming off the no-hitter, but I would think you would see either J.P. or Ronel move to that pen if and when Justin comes back, unless they want to try and keep those guys stressed out and pitch them in the minor leagues.
DK, talking about the starting pitching, it's, again, very small sample size, only seven games into the season from the Astros, but lead all of baseball in ERA when you look at that starting pitching. Fromber, a little shaky in his first outing, but I thought there were good signs there, and there was brilliant in his second. Javier's been very good. Hunter Brown will be making his second start tonight, solid in his first one. This starting pitching, I can't imagine that anybody thought seven games in they would be leading all of baseball in ERA from that starting rotation.
No, it's a great sign, and there's really good sidebar stories to go along with that. Obviously, Fromber made the adjustment and went from six walks opening day to no walks in his last start, so that was huge. Christian Javier has been tinkering with the changeup, and that seems to have improved his arsenal, and he also lost some weight, and it seems like that fastball has been pretty sharp, too. Wasn't great in his last outing, but when Javier's not great, when he walks five, he's still able to have one hit allowed and shut out a team for five innings. Ronel Blanco was the big story, obviously, on the week with his new changeup in the no-hitter. And then you've got Hunter Brown. I really think Hunter's going to make a big jump from 23 to 24. And J.P. France continues to be very, very solid in his start like he was last year when he made 22 or 23 starts for the Astros. So, yeah, I think, you know, as 2-5 records go, there was a lot to be proud of and happy about moving forward with the Astros, and none more so than the fact that the rotation did so well against two pretty good offensive teams in the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And that can only bode well for the long run.
TK, we're a show that constantly likes to feed on the positives. We don't like to give up a lot of negatives. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, what's been one of the biggest positive surprises so far this season? We've seen so many good stories, Pena, Yiner, even Jake in early doses. But what's been your biggest surprise so far to this point?
Probably the combination of Yiner, because I thought he was going to have a really good year, so I'm not really shocked. I mean, you don't expect him to hit near 500 for this season, but he's off to a great start, and he's calling a good game. I mean, you mentioned the starting rotation. Yes, there have been some blips in the bullpen side, but he's caught a no-hitter and a one-hitter in the last series, and he's hitting about 500. His OPS is around 1,300, so he's easily the Astros' best player so far after the first week of the season. The other nice surprise, I think, is just everything that Jeremy Pena worked on in the offseason and in spring training to adjust his swing has paid off. And it looked like JP might be in for a really good 2024. Last year, I don't buy into the people that said last year was a drop-off in 2022. I thought it was about the same. His OPS was close. He was better with his plate discipline. He didn't hit any home runs. And he didn't show the pop that he did the year before, so everybody just thought he had a disastrous season. It was an okay season, but not much different than his rookie season when everybody was going gaga over him. So, yeah, I think JP is going to make a big jump in 24 after last year, and those two, to me, would be the biggest surprises early.
Preaching to the choir on that one, Todd. Todd Callis joining us on the HRMP guest line. If he can combine the power of year one and then the plate discipline, striking out less of year two, maybe a really good year. How about the leash of Jose Abreu? Looking at a spot his lineup tonight, it looks like Abreu's dropped down in the spot in the lineup. He's batting seventh now, below Chaz McCormick. Of course, he came on last year, had a strong postseason. How long of a leash do you think they give him?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, he's got a 3-year deal, so he's going to get a leash no matter what. This is year two, obviously, and we're not even eight games into it yet. So there's a couple of things at play. Number one, you've got John Singleton, who's a veteran, who's been around, who's going to get some starts. We've already seen him make two starts in the first homestand. So I think you're going to see Joe Espada give him some days off. Number two, they're going to try Joey Loperfido down in the minor leagues at first base, but he's been playing mostly outfield, so he would possibly be a candidate to get some starts in the future. But there's really not like a bona fide first baseman now sitting there waiting his turn while Jose Abreu takes these at bats. So For the most part, he's going to get a pass because he signed to a big deal. They're not going to give up after him after 1 year and 7 days. And he did have a good September, October. He had a good postseason. So the leash is probably longer than fans are wanting right now, but it's going to be a pretty long leash. I wouldn't expect anything to happen anytime soon in terms of Jose Abreu, other than the fact you'll see against a tough righty, John Singleton, get a start here and there.
TK, I'm curious how frustrated you get, or do you welcome it when you get all these national games early in the season and you're like, you're hankering to get out of the gates and get with the team and call every game, and then national TV, like tonight. Are those tough for you, or do you enjoy the time off with the grind of the schedule?
I enjoy the time off, but not at this time of year, right? I mean, it was great today. Played golf with Sparky and Julia's husband, Matt Clark. We had a good time, and it was cool. Beautiful day here in the Dallas region to be able to play some golf and enjoy those guys' company. But yeah, I want to save those in my back pocket and have those for July and August when the grind's real. So yeah, you don't want them in March and April. You never complain with an off day, but we had two off days last weekend. Now we'll have two off days this weekend, today and Sunday night. But yeah, I would much prefer in a perfect world to have those, sitting in my hip pocket for July and August when I could play those cards.
How many strokes are they giving you, Todd?
Sparky gives me 9.
Ooh,
Sparky's
what?
Good.
What's his handicap?
Really good.
Man.
Sparky's like a 6, and I'm like a 15, so he gives me 9 strokes.
Those knuckleballers are always good at golf for some reason. Can't explain it, but they're always good at golf. TK, settle an argument for us. RBI or RBIs?
I go RBIs, plural. I know what you're saying because it's runs batted in, but I just don't like the way it sounds. I like RBIs. I think Julia does RBI, yeah. But I've always gone RBIs, plural.
You have a healthy respect for AP style. I appreciate that, Todd. enjoy the night off. Enjoy the series in Arlington. Hope you come back with some victories.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Very good. Todd Kalas, the TV voice of the Astros on the Shin. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. That was interesting. You talked about going 5-man rotation with those days off. Like, who are you dropping out of the rotation?
Like, I was going to ask him. I didn't think he was going to answer it.
I don't think he would.
Thinking about asking him.
Man, like, who would you pick right now? I mean, here's the thing. They're both going to have at least one, maybe two more starts before you have to decide. Like, they still might have two more starts before you're even making that decision.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of pointless to even talk about it right now. Like, if you were doing it right now, I'm leaving Blanco in the rotation, but it might be a different story after two more trips through the rotation.
Yeah, no doubt. I was thinking the same thing. Like, with the development of the changeup for Blanco, I'm not taking him out. I would probably put J.P. France in the pen for now, but that would be just me right now because, like you said, you're waiting on Urquidy to come back. There's a lot of time before you have to make a hard decision, but right now it's hard to take a guy like Blanco out of the rotation with what he just showed you.
Yeah. 7-1, but you'll cross that bridge when you get there.
Plus he's coming off the spring that, you know, everybody said, we'll prove it in the regular season. Well, he comes off a great spring and does that. You're like, yeah, I think we're going to leave him there for now.
Yeah, I would go with the hot hand at the moment. If I was making the decision today, I'm with you with Blanco, but I'm not making the decision right now. They're probably going to have another turn or two. I think probably two more times